So welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference Call. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Preeti Vasini Mataji to enlighten us on Sri Brihad Bhagavatam. Today is the 14th session of Book 2. So thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable association and time. So now I would like to hand over the call to you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Am I audible to everyone? Okay. Thank you all so much. Thank you all so much for logging in. And welcome everyone to the call. So we'll start with the prayers. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanath Swamin Itinamine. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pachayati Deshadarini Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. My pranams to all the devotees on the call. Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. All glories to Srila Sanatan Goswami, who is the author of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So we are continuing our study of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and this is session 15 of Book 2, which is the story of Gopakumar going towards Goloka Vrindavan. So in our previous session, we saw how Gopakumar managed to reach the region of the impersonal liberation, which is known as Mahakala Dham. So there, when he was there in that impersonal region, he was interacting with the form of the Lord, who is known as Mahakala. He's the form of the Supreme Lord. And this Lord would sometimes appear personal and sometimes he would appear impersonal. So while staying there, once Gopakumar, he was having a very good time there. He really enjoyed his stay there. But then once he happened to see Lord Shiva pass through that region. Now seeing this very glorious personality with all his beautiful, beautiful entourage who were appearing from above this abode of Mahakala Dham, above this abode of liberation, Gopakumar got very curious about who this person was, what was his identity. So he began to think for himself. He thought, this person looks much more powerful than anyone else in this material world. He looks more excellent than all the liberated souls in Mahakala Dham. But however, he seems to violate all the rules of civilized behavior like a sense gratifier. He's traveling without any clothes. He looks like he's enjoying all kinds of sense gratification that is offered to him by his associates. Though he appears to be a fully renounced and a fully liberated person, he seems to be a little different. So Gopakumar's mind was overcome with a lot of confusion. At the same time, when he saw this most wonderful personality, his mind was filled with ecstasy seeing him. So he bowed down to Lord Shiva and to all those who were around Lord Shiva. And when he did that, Lord Shiva gave him a very, very compassionate look. So, impelled by joy from the compassionate glance of Lord Shiva, Gopakumar, he approached the leader of the companions of Lord Shiva, whose name was Nandishwara. So he went to Nandishwara and he asked him, who this great personality was and what he was doing here in Mahakala Dham. So that's where we stopped in our previous class, and we didn't get into the details of what Nandishwara spoke to Gopakumar. So we'll continue from there. So Gopakumara, he went forward and he called Nandishwara and he asked Nandishwara, who is this? Who is this personality, this effulgent personality? Somehow I feel so attracted to him, but I'm so much confused about him. So who is he? Where is he coming from? And where is his residence? And where is he going now? So when this question was asked by Gopakumar, Nandishwara began laughing. Because Nandishwara was thinking, how come this person doesn't know who Lord Shiva is? So Nandishwara laughed and he told Gopakumar, hey cowherd boy, you're such a devoted worshipper of Lord Gopal and you don't know, you cannot recognize Lord Shiva? Lord Shiva, he's the Lord of the universes. Nandishwara was so surprised that a worshipper of Gopalji couldn't understand who Lord Shiva was. And he thought maybe this cowherd boy was just poorly informed. So Nandishwara told Gopakumar that he is indeed the Lord of the universe. By indicating that he is the Lord of the universe, tactfully Nandishwar, he told Gopakumar that since he was Lord Shiva and he was an independent Lord, he could apparently violate the laws of civilized behavior without taking any blame for himself. Meaning that he is not bound by the laws of dharma or anything that is right and wrong. So then Nandishwar, he told Gopakumar that this Lord Shiva is the giver of all material enjoyment. Not just that, he is also the giver of impersonal liberation. And not only that, he expands devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he is worshipped even by the liberated souls and he is very, very dear to the Vaishnavas. Lord Shiva, he is Bhagavat Bhakti Vardhana in more than just one sense. Just by showing love for the Supreme Lord, Lord Shiva increases the love that Lord Krishna has for him. Apart from that, Lord Shiva himself promotes devotional service to Lord Vishnu. He teaches his own devotees that Bhagavad Bhakti is much greater than anything else. So a classic example of his teachings is the teachings to the Prachetas that is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the fourth canto. So very soon in our Bhagavatam classes, we will be hitting this chapter is about Lord Shiva's teachings to the Prachetas, or rather Shiva Gita, where he gives beautiful prayers to the Prachetas. So Lord Shiva, he increases for the inhabitants of this universe their devotion to the Supreme Lord. So therefore, he is very, very dear to the devotees of Lord Vishnu, who always aspire his association, because this Lord Shiva is Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. He is the greatest of all Vaishnavas. Now Nandishwara then told him, Lord Shiva, he is now traveling towards Kailash. He is drawn by the affection of his very dear friend Kuvera, and Lord Shiva is traveling with his beloved wife Parvati Devi and a small set of his gentle companions so that they can go to Mount Kailash and grace Mount Kailash with their presence. So he's coming from his transcendental abode, and that planet, that abode can be reached only by people who see him both, who see him and Lord Krishna as non-different. Meaning that the ones who worship Lord Sadashiva, who is the expansion of Lord Vishnu. Okay, so Nandishwara told him that this Lord, he is Lord Sadashiva. He is coming from a higher realm, higher than this Mahakaladham. He is coming from there, from the spiritual world. He himself is an expansion of the Supreme Lord. And he is traveling towards Kailash to go and meet his dear friend Kuver. So, this Lord, who was apparently passing through that region, he is Sri Krishna in his form as Lord Sankarshan, who later expands as Lord Sadashiva. So this is what Nandishwara was trying to explain to Gopakumar. However, it must be clarified here that it is Sri Krishna alone who is the supreme, the origin and cause of all causes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, Lord Sadashiva is transcendental to the three modes of material nature. He is the bilas expansion of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And Sadashiva is also the source of all the Shivas who are serving as one of the Guna avatars. He is the source of Shiva. He is the source of all the Rudras that is there in each universe. So Sadashiva, he is equal to Lord Vishnu. He is superior to Lord Brahma. And he is superior and separate from all the conditioned Guna-bound Jivas. So Shiva Tattva is separate and he is not a Jiva like Brahma. We all know that Brahma is the topmost Jiva, but whereas Shiva is not a Jiva. Okay? So Srila Prabhupada, he also says in the Vayu Purana, there is a description of Sadashiva in one of the Vaikuntha planets. That Sadashiva, who is there in one of the Vaikuntha planets, he is a direct expansion of Lord Krishna's form for the sake of pastimes. So he's a direct expansion and he takes that form for the sake of pastimes. So this Lord Sadashiv was traveling from Sadashiva Loka, that is there in the Vaikuntha realm, with goddess Parvati on his lap, because Parvati was his eternal consort and she is Lord Shiva's supreme energy. And there was nothing for him to be ashamed of keeping her on his lap, because they are eternally always together, Lord Shiva and Parvati. Parvati is always his companion. So he was traveling with a very, very small entourage of selected people, selected associates from Sadashiva Loka, and he was traveling towards Kailash Dham. Now, Gopa Kumar, he was very, very curious, and when he heard Nandishwara talking about so many details about how Sadashiva and his Lord Krishna were actually similar, he badly wanted to know how it was that Lord Shiva is non-different from his dear Lord Madan Gopal. He wanted to know about how Lord Shiva and Lord Krishna are non-different in one sense. He was naturally attracted to the lotus feet of Lord Madan Gopal only. But when he saw this wonderful personality, he felt a very intense attraction to him also. So he couldn't understand in the first place why he was feeling that attraction to Lord Shiva. And when he heard from Nandishwar that in one sense Lord Krishna and Lord Sadashiva are non-different, Gopa Kumar wanted to know more details. He wanted to know how the two lords could be non-different because they looked so different. So then Lord Shiva, the supreme mystic who could understand what was there in Gopa Kumar's mind, he looked at Nandishwar, indicating him to explain the matter in detail to Gopa Kumar. So when Nandishwar began explaining to him, Gopa Kumar could understand that actually this Lord Shiva is non-different from Madan Gopal because he serves the cause of love for Krishna by promoting it everywhere. Lord Shiva helps one to become more devoted to Krishna, and he felt that there was nothing wrong in being attracted to him, and he happily, Gopa Kumar was very convinced with the conversation that he was having with Nandishwar, and he felt great attraction to this form of Lord Shiva, and he entered Lord Shiva's companions. He entered that entourage and he started taking association from them. So he felt very great affection for all the devotees of Lord Shiva. And these devotees of Lord Shiva began treating Gopa Kumar like just one of their very close associates. Then this continued. Nandishwara began explaining some very unique facts about Lord Shiva. So, Nandishwara, he explained the greatness of his worshipable Lord purely from his point of view. Okay, now, the description of Lord Shiva was purely from the point of view of Nandishwar. So, Nandishwar, he told to Gopa Kumar, Lord Shiva has one eternal transcendental form. He maintains one form and he is not like this Lord Mahakala, who is the Lord of Mahakala Dham, who sometimes appears formless and sometimes appears with a personal form. Then he said, my dear Lord Shiva, he doesn't take incarnations like a fish or a tortoise or a boar, like Lord Vishnu. But however, sometimes he disguises himself like a hunter or a fisherman, but he doesn't transform himself into various species of life like how Lord Vishnu does. And then Nandishwar made the statement that sometimes Lord Shiva, he does take different forms. He goes on earth like a hunter or sometimes like a fisherman. So we all know how Lord Shiva came disguised as a hunter before Arjuna, before Shiva actually gifted the Pashupatashtra to Arjuna. So there is a very beautiful story in the Mahabharata of Lord Shiva coming in the form of a hunter, and he came and he hunted a wild boar, and then there was a fight between Arjuna and Lord Shiva, and finally Lord Shiva was pleased with Arjuna and he gave him the Pashupatastra to him. Okay, so these pastimes of Shiva coming in various disguises to perform pastimes is sometimes even described in classic Shaivite texts. So there is a classic Shaivite text that is called as the 64th place of Lord Shiva, and it is a very, very popular text dealing with some unique pastimes. So here Sanatan Goswami mentions two cases of Lord Shiva coming down to earth. One was in the form of hunter, where he gave darshan to Arjun, and the other is in the form of a fisherman. So this story is very interesting. I thought I'll touch upon this story. Once, the story goes like this. Once Lord Shiva was explaining the meaning of the Vedas to Goddess Parvati, and when he was explaining the meaning of the Vedas, Parvati happened to doze off. So since Parvati dozed off when he was very seriously explaining things to her, Lord Shiva got very angry with her, and he cursed her to be born on earth as a fisherwoman. Okay, so Parvati, because of this curse from her husband, she was born as a fisherwoman. She was born to the fisherman's chief in a particular area, and she grew up to be a very young, beautiful fisherwoman. So meanwhile, Lord Shiva and Kailash, he was missing his very dear consort. So at that time, Nandi and Lord Shiva, they came up with a plan because Lord Shiva was missing her so much. So the next day, Nandi, who is the bull, he took the form of a very large whale, and he went to that part of the sea where this fisherman would come for fishing. So he started troubling all the fishermen in that area. The fishermen, they were getting very upset with this whale because this whale would create huge waves, and sometimes the boats in which these fishermen were traveling would submerge, or this whale would come and attack the fishermen, and he would create a lot of havoc at that time. So the fishermen got very disturbed, and they went to their chief and they told that there is a huge whale in the sea, and that sea is really obstructing our fishing business, and as long as this whale is there in the sea, I don't think we can really continue fishing, because this whale, he upturns our boats and he tears off our nets. The minute we cast the nets into the sea, immediately he just bites that net and he just tears it apart. So we are having a big time fishing in the sea. So hearing these complaints of the fishermen folk, the chief, who is the father of Parvati Devi, he announced that whoever catches that huge whale will be allowed to marry my daughter Parvati. So he made this huge announcement. And the people from all over the fishermen community were coming to catch this whale because they had all heard about the glories of Parvati Devi. So they all knew that she was exquisitely beautiful. She was very, very brave, and she was a very beautiful woman. So everyone wanted to marry Parvati Devi, and there was a huge competition for catching this whale. So a lot of people were coming forward to go and catch the whale, but no one could really catch the whale. So that time, this chief, he prayed to Lord Shiva, and Parvati herself, she also intensely began to pray to Lord Shiva to somehow get rid of that large whale. So when Lord Shiva personally heard the prayers of his eternal consort Parvati Devi, he decided to go there personally to help. So Lord Shiva, he heard Parvati's prayers, and he took the form of a young and handsome fisherman so that he could go and marry Parvati. And then he went there to the chief and he said, "I am a young fisherman and I'm here to help you. I will catch that whale and then I will marry your daughter Parvati. So then the young man, now this is Lord Shiva, who's disguised as a young man, he went to the sea to catch the whale. And at that time, Nandi, who was disguised as the whale, was very, very happy to see his lord. And he immediately let this young man catch him. So then, once the whale was caught, Nandi went back to Shivaloka, where he went to his eternal pastimes. And Lord Shiva, in the form of a young man, he married Parvati Devi. And then both Shiva and Parvati, they transformed themselves into their original forms, gave darshan to all the fishermen crowd, and then they went back to Shivaloka. So this is a very interesting pastime of Lord Shiva taking the form of a fisherman. Now, Lord Shiva doesn't really take incarnations. That's what Nandishwar is trying to explain to Gopakumar. He doesn't transform himself into different species of life, but rather for the sake of pastimes, yes, he goes down to earth disguised in various forms, like that of a hunter or that of a fisherman and so on. So like that, Nandishwar was explaining to his Gopakumar. The point that Nandishwar was making to Gopakumar was that, yes, my lord sometimes takes forms like this, but still he dwells on his planet and he is always exclusively available for his worshippers who are very, very happy to live there. So Lord Shiva's devotees, they can always see their Lord Sadashiva there, unlike the Supreme Lord Vishnu's presence in the various planets like Swargaloka, Maharloka, Tapaloka and other places which Gopakumar had already been to. So remember, when Gopakumar was there in Swargaloka or he was there in Mahajana, Tapaloka, sometimes the Lord would be present, sometimes he would disappear. This was a very big complaint that Gopakumar was having, and not only Gopakumar, the other associates were also having this big complaint. But whereas Nandishwar was telling him that my Sadashiva, yes, he goes down, but he goes for a very brief period in disguise, but he's eternally present in Sadashiva Loka. I can always perceive him in Sadashiva Loka. So that is a very unique quality of my Lord. So this was from the point of view of Nandishwara. So he was saying, my Lord Shiva, he always remains the same. And the other meaning of Nandishwara telling that his Lord Shiva always remains the same is that the body of Lord Sadashiva specifically is eternal and it is purely spiritual without any changes. So he's present in his own abode in Sadashiva Loka and he is visible for the pleasure of all his devotees all the time. So this is how Nandishwar was presenting his dear Lord in front of Gopakumar. So the other interesting things that he mentioned, this is very, very interesting. He began to glorify his Lord even more and he said, there are various festivals. What's happening in Sadashiva Loka? That's what Nandishwar next begins to explain. He says there are various festivals of singing, dancing and so on. And Lord Shiva is always ready to give pleasure to his companions, as if to make them greedy more and more for the Supreme Lord's devotional service. In this way, the people there, because Shiva makes them all greedy for Vishnu Bhakti, in that sense, Nandishwara was saying that Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva were non-different because he always reminds them of Vishnu. So Lord Shiva's festivals there in Sadashiv Loka, which is also a part of Vaikuntha, it resounds with congregational chanting of Lord Vishnu's names. That's what is happening there. If someone goes to Sadashiv Loka and sees what's happening there, Nandishwar is giving explicit accounts. He's saying, what's happening there? We are all doing congregational chanting there. All of them are chanting Lord Vishnu's names. And all these devotees can be heard crying out in love for Lord Vishnu. So he holds such festivals for the benefit of others to induce them to take up devotion to Lord Vishnu. He's completely absorbed in devotion. He's Bhakta Avatara. See how clearly it is explained. Lord Sadashiva is Bhakta Avatara. He himself is the form of the Lord. Yes, we are non-different. Nandishwar again says, he himself is the form of the Lord, but he is in the role of a Lord's devotee. In that sense, they are non-different. So although he is the Lord of the universe, he is always lovingly worshipping his favorite form of the Lord, as Lord Sesha in the mood of a humble servant. Lord Shiva, he feels a very special affinity with the Ananta Sesh expansion of Lord Shankarsana. So Shankarsana is actually the worshipable Lord of Lord Shiva, and Shankarsana's expansion of Ananta Sesha, and Lord Shiva also has a very strong attraction to this form of Ananta Sesh, because both Ananta Sesh and Lord Shiva, they both are the presiding deity of the mode of ignorance, and they are in fact in charge of the universal devastation. So we all know that during the universal devastation, who are the two people who are active? One is Sesha and other is Lord Shiva. Fire emanates from the mouth of Sesha and Lord Shiva does his cosmic dance. So they are always together. So therefore, Lord Shiva has a very intense affinity to Sesha, who is an expansion of Lord Shankarsana, who is Lord Shiva's worshipable deity. So all these Nandishwar explained in detail. Hearing all these accounts about the glories of Lord Shiva, it made Gopakumar so eager to go and see this Lord, stay with him in Shivaloka and take his association. So he felt exceedingly happy. He was so happy. But in his heart, within the core of his heart, he was not feeling the ultimate fulfillment. He felt something was missing. Something was missing. He couldn't understand what was missing. So to understand what is it that exactly he was missing in this form of Lord Sadashiva, he began to chant his Gopal mantra. So he chanted his mantra, and by the power of this mantra, he could understand that he was actually missing out on Madan Gopal's sweet pastimes and attractive features. Madan Gopal looks so sweet with his beautiful threefold bending form, flute to his mouth, peacock feather to his hair. He was missing all that. He was missing all that sweetness. So he realized that when he sincerely chanted his mantra. So then he tried to convince himself, once he understood that this is what I was missing, he tried to convince himself by telling his mind that Sadashiva is non-different. He is the one who is performing these pastimes as Madan Gopal. Whatever it may be, Lord Shiva will ultimately help him figure it out. So he should go and take the association of Lord Shiva, and Shiva will help him out to understand what his ultimate destination is. So Gopakumar was preaching to his mind, though his mind at one point was telling him, no, this Shiva looks so different from my worshipable Lord Madan Gopal. At the same time, he tried to control his mind, saying that no, actually, in one sense, they are the same. So I should take association of this form of the Lord and try to understand more. So this was happening in his mind. Now, however, I just wanted to make a small comment here, that in some of the old editions, the translation is given as, when Gopakumar was having this confusion in his mind, that, you know, why am I not feeling this attraction to this form? At that time, Lord Shiva himself showed him the form of Madan Gopal. I mean, he transformed himself as Madan Gopal to attract his mind. That's how some of the translations are, and in some of the old lecture notes, this is what is given. But however, in this book that we are following by Gopi Paranadana Prabhu, it is mentioned that he was preaching to his own mind. Shiva didn't show these forms explicitly, but he was preaching to his mind. He was thinking, in his mind, how Madan Gopal could transform into Lord Shiva and Shiva could transform into Lord Madan Gopal. That imagination was running in his mind. It's not according to these translations, not that Shiva was physically showing it. Okay, so I just wanted to mention both the variations in the translations. Both are same in one sense. It could also be by the mercy of Lord Shiva that, you know, he was seeing these two forms as being the same. It is valid, both are valid. But in case you go back to the book and you check and you don't find it, I just wanted to let you know about it. Okay, so then Lord Shiva, at that time, all this was going on in the mind of Madan Gopal. He, at one point, he was feeling no attraction. And then suddenly he was trying to tell his mind, actually, they are the same. And he was getting a vision of how Lord Shiva could actually be Madan Gopal. When all this confusion was going on in his mind, at that time, Lord Shiva, who was present there, decided to take some rest for a while before he could proceed onward with his journey. And he did this purposely. He could have gone further, but Lord Shiva didn't do that. Rather, he decided to stay back because he wanted to show Gopakumar something that is even better. So just then, as Shiva sat down to rest, in a distance, Gopakumar suddenly started hearing a very sweet, melodious singing of great souls. So when he heard this, Lord Shiva was just swept away. He was just swept away in an ocean of ecstasy under the spell of love of God. So when Gopakumar heard this, he looked at Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva suddenly seemed to be in a trance. The body of Lord Shiva, Gopakumar could see visible symptoms of transformations on the body of Lord Shiva. He could see perspiration. He could see trembling. Lord Shiva had a choked voice. He had horripilations on his body. He was falling on the ground. And all this was manifesting in the body of Lord Shiva beyond any control. He got off the bull carrier, Lord Shiva. He just jumped off the Nandi. And he started to dance as though no one was there around him. He just lost complete control of himself and he started dancing. And seeing him in a trance like this, his ever faithful wife, Parvati Devi, she also got down and she immediately encouraged him by clapping her hands and playing music and chanting what those associates, those people were actually chanting. So everyone started chanting holy names. Everyone was jumping and dancing because they heard some music. They heard some music and they heard some chanting coming from a distance. So slowly, those people who were chanting and coming into this abode, they appeared in front of Gopakumar. These people were looking so attractive, so attractive. They had four arms. And they were extremely beautiful. The opulence and the charm of their beauty and the good fortune that they were having was simply amazing. Their limbs were so effulgent. Their ornaments were all glittering. And their very presence made all the Shaivites look almost invisible. So these four-armed persons who were coming with some chanting sounds, they were immersed in this blissful rasa of singing the sublime glories of the Lord. So these people were entering, and when these people were entering, Lord Shiva just got into a trance. Everyone started dancing. Gopakumar was completely baffled. He didn't understand anything. Who are these people? They are looking so beautiful. They are looking so exquisitely wonderful. And in fact, in their presence, the Shaivites, the associates of Lord Shiva, they look like almost invisible. So Gopakumar was completely confused now. Actually, there is an ancient traditional saying in Sanskrit that says, Vishnu Alankara Priya, Shiva Abhisheka Priyaha, Suryo Namaskara Priyaha, Devi Pradakshina Priya, Brahmana Bhojana Priya. So there's a very ancient saying that you can satisfy Lord Vishnu by dressing the deity form of Lord Vishnu very beautifully. You can easily satisfy Lord Shiva by bathing his form with water, milk, honey, sandal paste or vibhuti. You can easily satisfy Lord Surya or the sun by prostrating in front of the sun in the morning to get good health. You can easily satisfy Goddess Devi by going around her temple, and you can easily satisfy the Brahmins by feeding them very nicely. So this is a very classic saying that says, Vishnu Alankara Priya, Shiva Abhisheka Priya. So Vishnu is Alankara Priya. Whether he likes to take bath or not, our Supreme Lord, whether he likes to take bath, whether he likes to take Abhishek or not, he loves to dress up. So not only is Vishnu Alankara Priya, but all his followers, the Vaishnavas, his entire entourage, all of them are also Alankara Priya. They dress up very, very nicely. Vaishnavas, you see, they will dress up very nicely. They'll wear excellent tilak. They will adorn themselves nicely so that the Lord can see them and be happy. And Vishnu's deities are also exquisitely beautiful. So much alankar goes on Vishnu's deities. Whereas Lord Shiva, he's always in abhishek mode. They're always pouring milk on him or water on him, or they're covering him with ashes. So they are two different people in different modes. So this Lord Vishnu, not only is he alankara priya, the Vaishnavas around him are also alankara priya. They're all dressed up gorgeously, forearms full of ornaments, glittering. And their very presence, not only were their ornaments so effulgent or their clothes so effulgent, but their very presence, they themselves were so effulgent. So much so that the Shaivites were almost invisible in their presence. Their beauty was indescribable. And these people, they were accompanied, Vaishnavas, this entourage of four-armed people, they were accompanied by four very familiar people. These four familiar people, Gopakumar had already seen. So the minute Gopakumar saw that these four-armed people, these Vaishnavas were coming, and they were accompanied by the four familiar people he had already seen, his attention was completely focused on them. Now, who were these four people who were coming with this associates of Lord Vishnu? They were actually the four Kumaras headed by Sanaka. So the four Kumaras were accompanying these people, and when Gopakumar saw them, he became very, 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 very happy because he had already met them. He had already taken their association, and now he saw that these people were coming with these Vaishnavas. So Gopakumar became very happy. And Gopakumar, he wanted to go and request these great personalities to take him as their servant because he was so attracted to them. But however, he was too embarrassed. He was too embarrassed because he felt himself very insignificant. He didn't want to go and ask such great transcendental personalities, "Can I be your servant? Can I be your associate?" So he felt a little uncomfortable. So he was standing there looking at their glories, and he was having this desire in his heart, "I wish I could go and serve them and associate with them." Then he saw Lord Shiva. He went forward and he embraced these personalities, and he was into a great swoon of prema. He just fainted. So when Gopakumar saw that Lord Shiva went and embraced these people and he fainted, he thought, if I take association of Lord Shiva, if I go and ask Lord Shiva for help, maybe by the mercy of Lord Shiva, I can talk to them and they can cast their sidelong glance on me. So he started thinking like that. Now, while he was thinking like this, Lord Shiva he carefully got up. He composed himself and he got up. And he looked at Gopakumar and he saw that Gopakumar was thinking something. And immediately, since our Lord Shiva is a great mystic, he could understand what Gopakumar was thinking. And he called out to Goddess Parvati and he asked Parvati to go and address this Gopakumar. So Parvati, she could understand what her Lord actually intended to. Her Lord wanted their son, Ganesha, who could actually associate with Gopakumar in a similar wavelength, to go forward and talk to Gopakumar and explain more details about these people. So Parvati, the minute she saw Lord Shiva indicating something to her, Parvati, she called out to her son, Ganesha. She called out to Ganesha. And she told Ganesha, "Go and talk to Gopakumar. He's having something in his heart. You can help him." So Ganesha went forward and he called out to Gopakumar. And in a very soft voice, because he's going to talk something very confidential, so in a very, very soft voice, Ganesha, he began speaking to Gopakumar. Ganesha said, "These people you are looking at, they are actually the associates of the ruler of the Supreme Lord of Vaikuntha. They have attained these gorgeous, beautiful bodily forms that is very similar to him, and they have come here from Vaikuntha itself." Then Ganesha showed Gopakumar. He told, "Look there, look down. in a distance, you can see so many universes floating. All these universes are all emanating from the bodily pores of Mahavishnu. And in those universes, you can see that in each of these universes, there is one Brahma. The universe that you came from, there is the four-headed Brahma. You see, there are some Vaikuntha residents who are actually entering into that universe. Can you see that down? You can see similar four-armed people are actually entering that universe. Look ahead. Look at that universe. There you see that is the universe of the eight-headed Brahma. That universe is double the size of the universe from which you came from. There also you can see some Vaikuntha associates are entering there. Look further. There you see another huge universe. That universe belongs to a Brahma that has 32 heads. There also so many Vaikuntha associates are swiftly entering that place because they can really go fast because the universe is so big. And then there you see another universe. There is a Brahma with 128 heads. And in that universe also, you see so many of these associates of Lord Vishnu, four-armed people, are actually entering that universe also. There are countless universes emanating from the bodies of Mahavishnu. And in each of these universes, multitudes of Vaishnavas are actually entering there. So Ganesha was showing, see, there are millions of universes. And like this, so many Vaishnavas, like how they have come here to Mahakalatam, these Vaishnavas are proceeding further and they are entering all these universes. Actually, this material creation is very, very insignificant. Even Brahma is very insignificant, Ganesha told. So then we see that in the Bhagavatam, Brahma himself, he offers this prayer in the Bhagavatam. In the prayers of Lord Brahma, that is there in 10th canto, chapter 14, there is a very beautiful verse. We have quoted this verse earlier also in our Bhagavatamrita sessions. It's a very beautiful prayer by Lord Brahma. Brahma says, "What am I? I am a small creature measuring 7 spans of my own hand. I'm enclosed in a pot-like universe composed of material nature. The total material energy, false ego, either air, water, and earth is there here. But what is your glory? Unlimited universes pass through the pores of your body, just like how particles of dust pass through the openings of a screened window. That is your glory. Every universe is covered with 7 layers, earth, water, fire, air, sky, the total energy and false ego, each 10 times greater than the previous one." Gopakumar actually traveled through all these places, right? So Lord Brahma was offering this prayer. He said, each of these universes, they are all covered by these layers. There are innumerable universes besides this one in which I am. And although they are all unlimitedly large, they move about like atoms in front of you. Therefore, you are unlimited. You are Ananta. This prayer, which talks about the layers, coverings and the layers of each universe, was actually a prayer by Chitraketu in Canto 6. The previous prayer was Brahma's and this was by Chitraketu. So Gopakumar was standing in the abode of liberation, which was above all these multitude of universes. And in each of these universes, he could see Vaikuntha messengers entering these universes, assuming different forms. They were assuming different forms as they were entering into these universes. They were assuming different sizes and different potencies that is suitable for that particular universe. So Ganesha said, "Did you see all of that? So many people, all these four-armed people, they are entering these universes. They are transforming themselves to suit each universe and they are entering those universes. Do you know why they are entering those universes? You'll see that. Do you even know why they are entering those universes? The reason is that they cherish only devotional service. They travel to all these universes as they please so that they can spread pure devotional service everywhere. They save the devotees in the material world from all fear. Vaishnavas themselves, they have nothing to fear, but still they fear obstructions in their bhakti. So these Vaikunthavasis, these people from the spiritual world, they go into the universes to help everyone overcome these impediments in their path of bhakti and give them guidance. They are there to rescue anyone who has chanted the holy name at least once, or chanted or heard the holy name of Vishnu, or even a shadow of his holy names, or just uttered it in jest or contempt or neglect or even in pain. So Ganesha was telling, these people are not ordinary, they are so compassionate. Not only are they looking so glorious, they are wearing all this, you know, glittering jewelry, and they are looking so exquisitely beautiful. It doesn't stop there. They are very compassionate. What are they doing? They are moving forward and they are entering all these universes to pick up souls who are struggling in bhakti. They are going there to give guidance and trying to bring them back to the spiritual world. So this is what our acharyas are all about. They are from the spiritual world, and that's what they do. They come to the material world to pick us up. So Ganesha was showing this. He was saying, see, so many people are going in. Why are they going in? They are going in to pick up the people who are struggling in the path of devotional service, who are struggling to come to Vaikuntha. They go and they guide these people. And then Ganesha said, those four brothers, you see those four brothers? They are accompanying the Vaikunthavasis because they are empowered incarnation of the Lord. These four are the Sanat Kumaras. They were accompanying these Vaikunthavasis, and Ganesha was explaining that these are Lord's devotees. They are empowered incarnations, and they wander around for the benefit of all the four worlds. The four Kumaras, they live on Tapaloka. We already saw that previously. They live on Tapaloka. Why do they live on Tapaloka and also travel like this with the entourage of Vishnu's associates? Why do they do that? The four Kumaras, they live on Tapaloka mainly to give reassurance and security to the residents who are of Tapaloka. Because the residents of Tapaloka, they sometimes feel helpless in the absence of Lord Narayana. So by personal example, the Kumaras, they go there and they promote devotional service. So although they move around with the Vaikunthavasis like this, they mercifully spend their time in Tapaloka to give guidance to these residents of Tapaloka who are depending on them for their guidance. So Gopakumar had already been in Tapaloka, and he saw that the Kumaras were actually giving guidance to the residents of Tapaloka. So Ganesha explains here, these Kumaras, they are free to travel wherever they want. Oftentimes, they travel with the associates of Vaikuntha. But they also like to spend some time in Tapaloka so that they can give guidance to the people there. The Kumaras in Tapaloka, they teach those people the path of yoga, and they also engage them in congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And these brothers, they had just gone to Vaikuntha to go and see the Supreme Lord, and they filled themselves in limitless ecstasy. They became so happy once they went to Vaikuntha that they feel that the bliss of impersonal liberation is nothing. They drank the sublime nectar of pure devotion of Lord Hari in the company of all his devotees, and these four Kumaras are actually returning back from Vaikuntha with the residents of Vaikuntha. So these Kumaras themselves, they are Atmaramas. In Vaikuntha, the Kumaras, they had just seen the Supreme Lord in person, and they felt great ecstasy that is much better than the ecstasy that is felt in this Brahmajyoti, and they are accompanying these Vaishnavas, and they are proceeding further. So we all know the story of the four Kumaras, and we have been hearing them over and over, both in the Bhagavatam classes and especially in the Chaitanya Charitamrita classes, because we are dealing with the chapter that is called as the explanations of the Atmarama verse. And the four Kumaras are the best example of Atmaramas. They were jnanis, and they got transformed into bhaktas by smelling the tulsi on the lotus feet of the Lord. So we are going through their story again and again, almost each and every day. So I won't talk about their story again. But Ganesha was making a point here that these Kumaras, they often go and take association of Lord Narayan and his associates in Vaikuntha because they like to drench themselves in this bliss of ecstasy of personal relationship with the Lord. Though they were impersonalists before, still, when they go like this around with the Vaikuntha Vasis, they have great ecstasy. So the four Kumaras were completely in bliss in association of these Vaikuntha personalities. So Ganesha then told Gopakumar, what more can I say about Vaikuntha Loka? With its opulence, it displays the eternal, unlimited joy. It is very, very hard to describe the unlimited glories of that Supreme Lord and His abode in the limited words that I can. That abode is full of unlimited pastimes of Ramanatha, the Lord of Goddess Rama, the Goddess of Fortune. And the Lord's devotees, they enjoy these beautiful pastimes in Vaikuntha, but the people here in this impersonal dham, this Mahakala Dham, they have very, very little hope of being admitted there. That place is really glorious. And the people here, they are completely devoured by this very bad idea of oneness. And they are yearning for impersonal liberation. That is actually limiting their entry to Vaikuntha even in their dreams. So like this, Ganesha, he was speaking about the glory of Vaikuntha and he said, this place, this Mahakala Dham, is actually the abode of impersonalists. And the glory that you see here is actually nothing. There is much more for you to experience. So we'll stop here because we are running out of time and we'll continue the conversation of Ganesha and the conversation of Mahadeva in our next session. Because there are a lot of important aspects that Ganesh and Mahadev, they cover. So we'll stop here. And if you have any questions, comments or realizations, you can go ahead. Hare Krishna. And if there are any corrections as well, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji, for such a beautiful and wonderful class, Mataji. So much to know. So thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Pavitra Madhavi, Mataji, for your very, very presence and your comments. Thank you so much for joining the call, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. This is Komodi Kidasi.
Yes, Mataji.
I wanted to find know whether when Lord Shiva took his form of a fisherman, so Parvati's name was Parvati, or she had another name as a fisherman's daughter?
I only see that her name was Parvati. She was also named Parvati. That's what I saw in the from the different texts. Her name is not explicitly mentioned, Mataji.
I see.
Yeah, maybe in the other retellings they have given some name, but as such, I couldn't find any specific name to her in that past time.
Okay. And sometimes you mention about Sadashiva and sometimes you say Lord Shiva. Mm-hmm. So it is the same that you were referring to, the same personality?
Yes, the personality who is here is actually coming from a higher realm, from the Vaikuntha realm, and he is Sadashiva. And yes, sometimes I just said Shiva and sometimes Sadashiva. That is right, Mataji. I meant to refer to the same person.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Very beautiful. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, for those questions also. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. when you were talking about Anantashesha's role in the devastation, annihilation of this universe, I didn't catch exactly what his part was.
So during the...
Yeah, Lord Shiva, he does his famous dance.
So, of course, you know, his expansion, Sadashiva expands into various other Shivas and different Rudras. There is one particular Rudra who does the famous dance, the cosmic dance, at the time of annihilation. So they are all expansions of this original Sadashiva. So according to, Shiva Tattva is very complex, very hard to understand. Yes, but the expansion does the dance, yeah.
Yeah, but then I didn't understand what Ananta Shesha's role was.
Oh, yeah, there is a fire that is emanating from the hoods of Ananta Shesha, who's there below the universe, together they perform the devastation of the universe. The fire kind of engulfs the universe, and he's responsible to start the fire, the Ananta Shesha.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Anyone else has any comments or questions or realizations you want to share?
Hare Krishna, Prithi Vilasin, Gopi, Gopi Ganrat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Thank you very much for engaging all of us in Krishna's service. Mataji, I remember there is a Vyas Puja last Sunday in Sradhanath Maharaj. So, Amendra Prabhuji is also there and Sloka Krishna Prabhuji is also there. So Mataji, he speaks like Chatala Patala Putala Butala. So I'm laughing because I'm sitting in front of them. So I can I explain them that every time we hear from Prithi Vilasini Gopi. So he repeat again and everybody is laughing. Can you please repeat that?
For your pleasure, yes. Atala vitala sutala rasatala talatala mahatala svatala.
Yes, same thing he repeat. Thank you, Mataji. Please sing something for all of us, Mataji.
Mataji, yeah, sure. I will also sing, but it's been a long time since we heard you sing. So can you sing something? Vrinda Gopika Mataji.
Yes, Mataji, I am here.
Yeah.
Vrinda Vana Ranya. Namo Vishnupada Krishna Pisabhuda Samit Bhakti Vedan Swami Namine. Namo Vishnupada Krishna Pisabhuda Samit Radhanath Mahajika Namine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Kadadar Sivasati Gopi Sundar. Vrindavana Ramya Sthana Divya Chinta Mani Dama Ratana Mandira Manohare. Vrindavana Ramya Sthana Divya Chinta Mani Dama Ratana Mandira Manohare. Avruta Kalindini Re Avruta Kalindini Re Rajahansa Keri Kere Tahe Sobe Haha Tahe Sobe Kanaka Kamala Urupa Lavanya Rasi Urupa Lavanya Rasi Amiya Padi Chekasi Hasya Padi Haha Hasya Padi Hasya Sambhasane Vrindavana Samyasthana Vrindavana Samyasthana Vrindavana Ramyasthana. I forgot one stanza, Mataji. Can you please sing that stanza?
Taramadehema
Taramadehema Pite. Can you sing, Mataji?
Ashtadale
Pite.
No, there the two Kanaka Kamal. Kanaka means gold. Golden Kamal.
Thank you, Mataji. Can you please sing that stanza, Mataji?
Let me just, I have to look in the book, exact words.
I can send if you want. Oh.
Yes, you can, Mataji.
Taramade
Hema Pita.
Ube Kanaka Kamal. Very thanks.
Shama Sange
Sundari Radhika.
Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much. Very, very nice.
I don't have a Vaishnava songbook in my hand, so little mistake, Mataji.
No, it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Yes, Tara Madhye Hema Pita Ashtadale
Vesi Sista
Pradhana Naika.
Shama Sange Sundari
Radhika.
बसिया से दुई जाने
जाने श्यामा संगे सुंदरी
राधी
राधिका और काला बन्या राशी अमिया परिचे हासी
हस्या
पारी हासी Narottama dasa koi nityali lasho kamoi
sadai
Hari Bol. Thank you. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. It's nice.
Tomajiki Mataji, can you please sing something for all of us? You know so many bhajan, Mataji.
I don't know. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya karo mohe Tuma bina ke dayalu Jagat samsare Patita pavana hetu tava avatara Mosama patita prabhu na paibe ara Aha prabhu nityananda premanande sukhi Kripa muloka na karo Ami boro dukhi Daya karo Sita pati Advaita gosai Tava kripa bale pai Chaitanya nitai Ha swarup sanatana Rupa raguna Bhatta jagati jivaha Prabhu lokanath Daya karo Sri Acharya Prabhu Sri Nivasa Ramachandra Ramachandra Sangha Mage Narottam Dasa Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol, Hare Bol, thank you, Mataji.
Hare Hare Bol, Jai Jai Shri Radhe Shyam, thank you, Radhe, thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. It was nice that you turned the game around.
Yes.
Yes. Hare Krishna. Dhanvat Pranam. Panchakut. I don't know if anybody has any question. Is the class over?
We can end call here.
Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you, and very nice singing, Vrinda Gopika, Mataji, Kumariki, Mataji, Priti Vilasi, Mataji. Such a beautiful lecture, Mataji, lecture of singing. Very nice.
And Kamaliki Mataji too. Kamaliki,
yeah, I said Kumariki Mataji too. Kumariki Mataji, Vrinda Gopika Mataji, Priti Vilasi Mataji.
Okay, yeah, see Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. So beautiful voice. Very nice.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. It's all mercy of all of you. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Priti Mataji.
Jai.
Thanks again for this very beautiful class, Mataji. And I like the you are explaining the concept of Vishnu Alankara Priya, Siva Abhisheka Priya, Surya Namaskara Priya. Yes, Mataji. So this part I know, Mataji, after this, but you have given the full what we can call this, Mataji, a stotra, or what we can call?
It's actually by an anonymous poet, so we don't know who exactly wrote it, but it's an ancient Sanskrit saying, about that.
Yeah. Yes, Mataji. This saying, up to this, the three things I know, Mataji. But the remaining you told that Devi is Pradakshina Priyaha and Brahmana Bhojana Priyaha. These two I don't know, Mataji. Thanks for giving this whole saying very properly, Mataji. And how you are glorifying the Vaishnavas. Not only Lord Krishna is very gorgeous, but although his devotees are also very gorgeous, they have very good tilak. Very good, gorgeous, dressing up. They present themselves very nicely. Glorification of Vaishnavas is very beautiful, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji, for this class again. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Supriya, Mataji. Thank you so much. Yeah, and I thought, especially Brahmana Bhojana Priya is also very appropriate because then a Brahmin is satisfied when he eats, right? And that's when he gives.
Yes, Mataji. Yes.
So
they like that especially.
We are asked to feed Brahmana, we are asked to feed Vaishnava. That's very important.
Yes, Mataji, that is true, that is true. Thank you, Mataji. And thanks to Vrinda Gopika Mataji and Kamaliki Mataji. Again, Priti Mataji, for you also having this beautiful bhajans of Vaishnavas. Those are very melodious, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. Very, very nice class. Very nicely you explain everything. Priti Vilasini Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Kamaliki Mataji. Okay. So if no one has any questions, comments, realizations, additions, corrections, we can end the call. Thank you all so much for your very warm association. वंचाकल्पतरूपेश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यश्च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो श्री सनातन
गोस्वामी.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for the nice class and beautiful singing, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for joining. Thank you.